Wednesday, 6 April 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church in Newbern, North Carolina, and I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We are in a series of messages basically from Ezekiel chapter 8, where God takes Ezekiel back to the land. He takes him from Babylon in the spirit back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, and shows him why he had to go far off from his people, why the children of Israel had to go into captivity. What we're looking at is the application of these great truths to the New Testament, and we're looking primarily at the letters to the seven churches over in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. At the present time, we are studying the church at Philadelphia, one of the two churches that was not rebuked by the Lord in these seven letters, or letters to the seven churches. Father, do bless us now with thy word. I want you to speak to my heart today. Lord, this scripture is so pertinent, so important. Please help us, I do pray, as well as all who are listening, and we'll thank thee for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. On the last broadcast, we were looking at this great truth. God commended the church at Philadelphia when he said, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I'm in Revelation chapter 3 now, in verse 8. I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. These here people were not strong people, but they were faithful people. They realized they were weak, but they knew that they had a strong God, and by the grace of God, they kept his word and did not deny his name. I believe that that's the area, those are the areas that we're going to be sorely tried in, probably a lot sooner than we dare think, whether we will keep his word or whether or not we will deny or own his name. We looked at Peter and Peter's great boast, his carnal boast, that he would never deny the Lord. And the rest of the disciples did too, at least the other eight did. Judas at that time had gone to betray the Lord. But they all ended up either being scattered or Peter denying the Lord, and Peter even going to the extreme of cursing and swearing and saying that he never knew the Lord. So, dear friend, our desire, my desire is, as we preach this message, that God would bless us, and that we would seek his strength, his grace, to stand. If we try to stand like Peter did in our own strength, we're going to really mess up. We'll never stand in our strength. It must be in the strength, in the grace of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we are warned about these things coming to pass. And you know, I was just sharing with you on the last broadcast concerning our being reproached. There's two types of reasons here for being reproached. One's for the name of Christ, and the other's because of our own foolishness. And dear friend, if we be reproached for the name of Christ, in verse 11, he said, happy are ye, means blessed are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, that is on the unsaved world, the Christ-haters part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it first began at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And look at God's mode of operation here. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first began at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? God makes it clear here that when he starts to bring his judgment, he's going to work first among his own people. And we've got a lot to share with you along with that. But what I'd like to do is this. I would like to go back with you to the first of this chapter, and in addition to these verses 12 and following that we have been looking at, let's go back and see the foundation even for these verses. So if you have your Bibles and can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, because we're going to start out with a true example for suffering, and realize why and how, why suffering will come our way and how we can be victorious. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 1 and following, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." My, what a tremendous truth this is. Now he said, Jesus suffered, and he said, you're going to suffer as well. You know, the Bible says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, I like this term. This is a military term, is it not? For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. I'm a person who believes in being armed. I think we should protect our country. I think we should protect our families. I think we ought to protect our churches. But this is a different type of armor here. He said, arm yourselves with the same mind. He is saying here, we need a spiritual mind, a submissive mind. We need a mind that realizes that Jesus Christ suffered and that we will suffer as well. For he said, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I don't think that means that a person who has suffered in flesh is now sinless, but we certainly will sin less. I hope that doesn't sound like a contradiction. As Brother Jack Green used to say, since God is sinless, his people ought to sin less. But here's the point. Once we start suffering for what we believe, dear friends, in our convictions and our lives are no more being lived by niceties, but rather by necessities. You know the difference between a conviction and a preference? If a person has a true conviction, then he has something that he can live or die for. Now, we have a lot of preferences in life. But, dear friend, it doesn't mean that we will necessarily die or give up our house or our car or our freedom or whatever it might be simply for a preference. If we do, we're not very wise people at all. But when it comes to a conviction, when it comes to that which is right, for a child of God, when it comes to that which is the will of God, which is the word of God, which is the way of God, for that which our forefathers paid the awesome price of suffering and imprisonment and their very lives in order to hand down to us the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to suffering, dear friend, then so many things that are just simply add-ons in our lives and are not necessary, we are willing to gladly let them fall off. Let me just give an illustration. Back when I was a boy, especially, we had tussles and we had fights and so forth. But it's interesting, you know, when you start getting ready and you know you're going to get into a fight. Boy, I'll tell you, the excitement just begins to build and your heart begins to pound. And you don't know how this thing's going to turn out. But it seems like once you get hit the first time, once you get really tagged the first time, then, dear friend, you don't feel a whole lot of pain after that. It's just a matter of winning the fight after that. And I'll tell you, I do. I fear a lot of things that, and of course, a lot of things will never come to pass. I do not look forward to persecution. I do not look forward to suffering. But I do know this, that suffering for Christ has a way of purging our lives, has a way of purifying our lives. No, it does not forgive us of sins, but it simply does take away a lot of things out of our lives. And many times these things are sinful in that they stand in the way of us serving the Lord. And we get down to the necessities of life and that which we can live and die for, live and die in, our convictions and not our preferences. Well, this broadcast is targeted for the middle of our broadcast week. I hope you're making plans, if at all possible, to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this midweek time. It is important. It is most important. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. If you are not able to attend a good fundamental Bible-believing church, if you have access to the internet, we'd like to invite you to join us at www.calbat.org. bapt.org. The services will be streamed live. We also have archives. In the meantime, may our Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of His blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.